It's Berlin briefing time. Germany needs to reform or needs to say goodbye to its social standards. That's the message coming from none other than German Chancellor Friedrich Merz. And with me to talk about whether this coalition will actually deliver on what it is calling for is Professor Nicola Fuchs-Schündeln, the president of the Berlin Social Sciences Center, who just presented her findings to the very coalition of Chancellor Friedrich Merz. And we have our own expert here in the studio, Matthew Moore, who mingles with the far-right AfD party to find out what their next move is and also what their concept, their potential alternative is here in Germany. We're going to have a discussion on what the political reality is and what the reality of this very social system is, and whether Germany can actually do reform. Professor Fuchs-Schündeln, you just had a very interesting conversation, didn't you? You spoke to members, leading members of the coalition, and presented to them what the problem is. And what was your key message there?
Yeah, I was very honored by the invitation to talk to the leading heads of the coalition. And what I was asked to talk about was how we can maintain the support for our democracy and our democratic system. And what I stressed in particular is the connection between the support for democracy and the economic situation. And I would say that from the research that we have done in political science and economics, there are two clear messages emerging. And the one is that for the support of democracy, it is very important that people perceive the state as an active actor, that they have a good local infrastructure, that the schools are working, that the government is seen as approachable, as solution-oriented, as client-oriented in a sense, and that the local infrastructure situation is really key for support for democracy. And that is an issue for Germany because we have neglected investment in infrastructure for years, if not decades.
But there's also a huge expectation when it comes to Germany's social system and what people can expect to get out of state in terms of support.
In terms of the social system, I think I would say that the situation is a bit more complicated because on the one hand, we really appreciate as Germans our social system and the support that the government gives us, and that is something that we clearly want to maintain. On the other hand, we see that we are in a situation where the social system is quite expensive, and at the same time, we have a lot of demands on the government budget right now coming from increased defense spending, coming from the demographic transition. So there are many issues, so that I would say there is a clear need for reform of the social system and of the basic security system. What I would advise the government there is to focus less on the actual payments to the recipients, but more on how can we have a social security or a social basic security system that still keeps incentives for the individuals to work, because this is where I think a lot of dissatisfaction comes from, that low income earners, they say, I am working 40 hours a week and my net payments are not much more than what someone gets with some basic security. And here, I think, is a clear need for reform.
Let's just take a listen to the ambition Friedrich Merz formulated just a short while ago on what he wants to achieve with this coalition in terms of Germany's social economy.
We agree that we want to preserve the welfare state of the Federal Republic of Germany. We do not want to dismantle it. We do not want to abolish it. We do not want to cut back on it, but rather preserve its most important functions, and that means we have to reform it.
So, Matt, there's a will for reform. This is also something that Friedrich Merz campaigned on, but he's in a coalition with the Social Democrat Party. So where are the differences when it comes to this very key ambition that we just heard from Friedrich Merz?
I think we'll find out over the next few months, because we've heard Friedrich Merz, been a lot of talk in Germany about the autumn of reform, Herbst der Reform here, but not a lot of content. And so the big fight at the moment is, is to go back to what we just heard about, which is this idea of how do you make the cuts that are necessary to the German budget. We've spent Germany spending too much every year. The deficit is between 25 and 30 billion. So there's an acknowledgement we can cut money, we need to cut money, but it's about where it is. And now there's been a huge kind of public debate about how you cut what we just heard about, the citizens' income, which is
Bürgergeld,
Bürgergeld in Germany, citizens' income, which is this social security, basic security there for people who are unemployed and in work, low earners. And the feeling is, okay, we're spending too much on this, but how can we cut it? And you've got the Social Democrats saying they're concerned that these cuts will be too extreme, that they will hurt the vulnerable in this country. On the other hand, you've got the Conservatives who are saying the state needs to be leaner. We need to encourage people to get back out to work. We need to incentivize. We need to make work pay more to make people want to get out of their unemployment and get up and go out to work again, because unemployment in Germany is at 6.3%. It's huge. So there's a realization, there's an acknowledgement, something needs to be done. But now we're seeing this kind of the devil is in the detail. And so although we've talked about Herbst, the reform, this autumn of the reform, we still got to have a debate about what exactly the measures will be to encourage people to get back to work and make those necessary cuts.
Yeah, it's really interesting how the debate here is zooming in on this Bürgergeld. It's not a basic income, but it's means tested, but still many people perceive it to be like that. And a lot of Ukrainians who weren't treated like refugees, they were instantly integrated into the system here in Germany, are also within that system. But Professor Fuchs-Schündeln, why do you think we're seeing this focus on a social provision that really is only a fraction of the German system? Just to illustrate, the pension system is so underfunded that almost a quarter of the national budget is being used not to fund the entire system, but just as a surplus to keep it afloat. So why do you think politicians are now zooming in on the provision of Bürgergeld, where they want to save as much as 5 billion, which really isn't that terribly much?
I think you're exactly right. In terms of the overall government budget, the Bürgergeld, the citizens' income, is very small. So reforming it won't help the basic budget problem that Germany faces. It is still a politically very charged part of the government budget. First, because as we already discussed, there is this question, do we give enough incentives to work for individuals? And that is, on the one hand, a fairness question. But on the other hand, it's also really an economic question, because while right now we see a little bit of an uptick in the unemployment rate, over the next decade, we face a huge demographic transition. So the baby boomers will go into retirement, and the number of people in the typical working ages will decrease by 10% over the next decade, according to a UN projection. So we really need people to work, and so we need to give incentives to work also so for individuals who are currently on the citizens' income. And what I also want to stress is a lot of the discussion is about how much money do these individuals receive, but I think what should be discussed much more is also there could be a lot of government saving by making the system easier and more efficient. So right now it's a very complicated system. So it's some lump sum that these individuals get, but then it also, they get support for their rent and they get support for their children. And all of that is also handled by different institutions of the state. So that makes it very inefficient and very costly for the government. It also makes it not very accessible for the people who are really in need, because you have to deal with different government agencies. You have to give a lot of very complicated information on your personal situation. So I think from that perspective, we also should reform the system to make it more efficient, which makes it cheaper for the government and makes it more accessible for the individuals who need it.
Can you just tell us how challenging the demographic factor here is?
The demographic factor is very important for two reasons. So we have the baby boomer generation, which is just entering retirement now, and then the younger generations who come into the labor market, they are significantly smaller. So we already in the last years noticed that there's labor shortage. It started in certain professions, like for nurses and in old individuals care and so on. But now you see it really broadly. So you see it for restaurants, for a lot of, especially service sectors, that there is a labor shortage. And that will increase in the future. So we really need to give incentives to work also for low-income individuals. That is the one part of it. The other part of it is that the demographic transition, for certain, is a challenge for the social security system, for the pension system. You already mentioned it. Already now, it's not a self-funded system. There's a lot of tax payment also going into it. And over the next 10, 15 years, this situation will certainly get worse. So there's also a need to really think about how can we make the pension system more sustainable.
Now, Friedrich Merz and his coalition, they've promised, and it's very interesting because it's always Friedrich Merz talking about this autumn of reform. And then you speak to people from the Social Democrats as coalition partner who say, well, that term wasn't from us. So they also stress that after the autumn, there comes winter, then comes spring, then comes summer, and then comes another autumn. So there seems to be a much longer timeline here. But we did hear Friedrich Merz promise also to the younger generation that they won't be left alone with paying for this problem. Let's just take a listen to what he said in Parliament.
This reform of our welfare state is imminent. We have promised to tackle this reform with determination, and we will keep that promise. I want to say this especially to the younger generation in our country. Young people in our country should not be burdened further just because they are in the minority. At the same time, the older generation must be able to enjoy the retirement they deserve in financial security for the work they've done throughout their lives.
Matt, let's face it, the Social Democrats and the Christian Democrats led by Friedrich Merz, they are both appealing more to older voters, aren't they? So it's interesting that he singles out younger people as a minority.
It made me wonder when I listened to that, so what is he planning to do then? How is he going to make that promise to younger voters, to younger people in Germany? How is he going to make life easier? Because there is, he's acknowledged this generational inequality. Some in his own party have acknowledged it and have called for a kind of a boomer tax, which is kind of controversial in a way. But I don't think he's necessarily going to embrace that tax if he's at the same time saying people in retirement need to enjoy the retirement. So if he starts talking about saying taxing the boomers, then he's going to have a problem. As you say, this is, you know, the dilemma is because this is a core voting group. Older voters are consistent voters. They are voters that in this country typically vote for the centre-right and the centre-left parties. But that's what I'm interested to see is how can he make good on that promise to young voters?
Well, for now, the coalition has set up a host of commissions. Yeah. There's also the key one is, of course, pension reform, also when you're talking demographics. And I just want to play a soundbite by Bärbel Baas, who's the Minister for Social Affairs in Germany, by far the largest budget in the German within the German federal budget. And she's the one who needs to be convinced that there is meaningful reform. And I think it's always really interesting that we also hear from Lars Klingbeil, the co-leader of the Social Democrats, who then stresses that, yes, there's a will there, there's a need for reform. We also heard from the German president, Frank-Walter Steinmeier, who is above politics now, but he is a Social Democrat, also calling for that reform that is urgently needed. Then we hear Bärbel Baas responding to Friedrich Merz's very bold claims of making significant cuts to the German social system with this. And there are some expletives which we are bleeping out.
This debate that we can no longer afford our social insurance systems and our welfare state is, and I apologize for the language, bull.
So, Professor Fuchs-Schünden, is that assessment, although nobody here would, of course, ever use that kind of term, is that correct?
Hi, I'm Kate Laycock, host of DW's weekly European Current Affairs programme, Inside Europe. Our correspondents were there when the Berlin Wall fell, when the Balkans Wars broke out, and when Britain voted to leave the European Union. Now the continent is changing again, and we're rising to the challenge, bringing you a combination of expert analysis and on-the-ground reporting. Join us every Thursday.
I think there is a clear need for reform, both for the for the welfare state, and but even more so for the pension system. And that is something that has to be recognized. And I don't think it goes away by the problem goes away by claiming it doesn't exist. And I think most, and you mentioned this, that the Social Democrats also see this. It's a huge political economy problem, and Mr. Moore was also alluding to that. The majority of the voters, they get older and older, so that they are in the retirement age or close to the retirement age. So obviously they have an interest in maintaining the system, but on the other hand, we know it's not sustainable, so we need to do something. And I think in part of the political world this arrived, but in other parts not. And we saw now in the negotiations for the coalition agreement, especially when it came to the pension system, it was a lot of business as usual. So every party got its pet project. So for the Christian socialists, that is that we give pensions to mothers just for giving birth. For the Social Democrats, is that we don't adjust the pension payments according to a demographic factor. And then the solution that they came up with is to say we will have a commission that discusses this. But I think there were commissions working on the pension system before, and the problem is well known and understood. So it's not really that we need a lot of expertise. We need political will to go to the problem. And there, I think what the Chancellor stresses, it's true that, I mean, the different generations have to do their part, but one obvious big possible part of the solution would be to increase the pension age, at least adjusted to increases in longevity. And Germany did that successfully in the past. I think it could be done as well, but it seems still that politicians are not willing to touch this issue.
Yeah, it's a very touchy subject. At the moment, everybody born from the late 60s onwards goes into pensionable age at 67. There's a process towards that. And there's now a debate whether to change that formula to whether to peg it to life expectancy. The interesting thing, of course, is that we've already seen another government fail over this, and that is in neighbouring France, haven't we, where Emmanuel Macron tried to implement a deep reform and then really had people on the streets. And in fact, as we're recording this, there are people on the streets in France again demonstrating in not as large numbers as previously. But this is a huge problem for democracy, Professor. So I would like to throw that back to you. How delicate is this when it comes to the stability of German democracy?
I think we shouldn't really compare Germany to France. The problems are similar. So that is true, though the French pension system is even in more dire need of reform because it is still more generous than the German one. On the other hand, the political situation is a little bit different. The French always have more of a knack to go on strike than the Germans have. There is also more debate about the elite political leadership than we have in Germany, fortunately. So I think compared to the French ones, the German politicians have a little bit of an advantage in implementing reform, but they do have to communicate this very clearly. And I think the communication is the right one, that we say, I mean, all the generations have to contribute. But that also means that, for example, our generation or my generation, as our longevity increases, we could say, well, part of that increase goes into an increased retirement time, but part of it also goes into increased working time. I do think this could be done and could be communicated, but the politicians have to be more courageous also in communicating that. And the other thing when it comes to maintaining our democracy while really tackling all these reforms that are necessary in Germany is that it would really help to have economic growth again. So we are in the third year without any positive economic growth in Germany, and this is certainly a problem for government finances. So it makes it harder to finance investment in infrastructure that we need, the investment in defense, and also to finance the pension system. It also gives individuals this feeling that nothing is really moving, and we know again from research that especially low-income earners, if there is positive economic growth, they still support the political system and democracy because they understand that they can also take advantage of that in the future and that their situation can improve. But if the entire economic situation is perceived as being very stagnant and without any hope and any vision for the future, then that also translates into a lot of doubt about the political system and about democracy. So I think one thing apart from thinking about the social security system, the pension system, that this government should focus much more on and doesn't do enough of yet, I would say, is to think about how can we stimulate economic growth. And a big part of that would also be about how can we deregulate, how can we improve our bureaucracies so that firms have more incentives to really invest, and how can we also think about what are fields and sectors that can be the leading sectors in Germany in the future, in addition to thinking about how can we protect the sectors that have been important in the past, but that are now under problems from external competition like the car industry.
Yes, Matt, there is a lot to take in for voters, people on the streets here in Germany. We did see the German Chancellor come out with business leaders and pronounce that there would be some 600 billion investments happening. But when you looked at the details, not much of that was new. Then the economic figures, they are disappointing because there is no real growth in Germany, despite the fact that Merz had raised so many expectations. Germany is taking on record debt. It's breaking with its debt break. So 500 billion in infrastructure investment, the sky is the limit for defense spending. And at the same time, you have the German Chancellor telling the German people that they work more. He literally should work more. That was one of his key messages. And also that despite the fact that Germany is taking on so much debt, that the budget will need to be slimmed down, that savings will need to be made within that arena.
I think
will the SPD, the Social Democrats, help him push through reform?
Inevitably, the commissions that you mentioned will come up with some proposals and they will reach an agreement. I mean, the problem that I think that's worth just underlining for people outside Germany, I guess, is we heard from Bebel Bas, the minister there, talking about it being this debate being bull. And she's talking to her base. And so you've got the SPD, Social Democrats, on the one hand, talking to their base about the Conservatives, that they just want to cut the welfare state down to so that it's basically nothing. And then you've got the Conservatives at the same time promising their voters, and also the Conservatives facing a threat from the AfD on the far right, looking for ways to promise their voters, we are going to slim down the state, we are going to get people back out to work, we're going to promote that growth that is necessary to get the economy running again. And so I think they'll come up with a bunch of measures. The question is, will they be enough? Will they be enough to tackle this problem? I mean, we're talked about citizens' income, but the pension, the dramatic situation facing this country cannot be underestimated in terms of, as you said, one in every 4 euros of outgoings is spent on just subsidising, basically topping up this pay-as-you-go pension system. We have this demographic crisis. And what's interesting, you know, you asked me about the Social Democrats, but obviously I focus on the AfD. And so I was at the AfD this week and, you know, they're saying, oh, we would basically, it's kind of like a neoliberal approach to the fiscal finances of the country. So it's like cutting tax, cutting spending, being much leaner, and that would promote growth. But one of the things that they promised voters when it comes to pension, just because I think this is super interesting, right? So that in the moment, the net, the pension level, the Social Democrats, you know this, right? They said 48%. So 48% of your final net income is the level, the minimum level of your pension when you retire.
Of the average income.
Average.
Yeah.
48%. Do you know what the AfD is promising voters?
Go on.
70. The AfD is promising voters 70%, which by some estimates would be another 130 billion euros more. But because the AfD is not in power, it doesn't ever have to explain how it would finance that. It's just that it's super interesting. But on the other hand, they're also saying we would cut citizens' income, we would cut development ministry spending, we'd cut weapons to Ukraine. So and those are the things that everyone talks about or hears in the news, but they don't hear about how they're going to spend, how they're going to keep that promise of spending something like almost 260 billion euros a year just topping up pensions in this country.
It's interesting because there was the first session of the parliament after the summer break, and we both actually went to the press conference of Alice Weidel, the co-leader of the far-right AfD party, which is the largest opposition party here in Germany. And of course, always the go-to voice to hear what the biggest opposition has to say. And there was a journalist who put to Alice Weidel, so what is your suggestion for social reform. Let's just take a listen to that.
Yes, I believe that welfare payments are the main issue. They're the main part. And the financing of the welfare is already running a deficit of almost 55 billion, if you extrapolate that. And our program clearly states that you are not allowed to pay cash benefits to foreign citizens, especially not to illegal asylum seekers. And that alone represents a potential saving if you significantly reduce social benefits, which incidentally also include health insurance benefits, and finally deport people who do not have a residence permit here to their home countries.
I just want to do a quick fact check on that as well, because there are no illegal immigrants who receive this particular benefit. Also, Professor Fuchs-Schulen, I would like to throw that comment to you because I couldn't find the 55 billion deficit anywhere, so I'm not sure whether you agree with that assessment. But it was, of course, very interesting how the opposition as well is zooming in on this very one payment, this citizens' payment, that really is not the key issue about social reform, though, is it?
Yes, it is. I mean, it's on a totally different order of magnitude in terms of the financial size than the pension system. So it certainly won't help. But what is very interesting listening to Alice Weidel's remark is how the AfD always deflects any issue that comes up back to the migrant issue. So that is really the main rhetoric that they are pushing along. And it's a rhetoric that populist parties always use in all countries worldwide and also in the past. And that is apparently very easy to transmit to the electorate, but it's certainly in economic terms, if you look at their program, Mr. Moore was pointing this out, this is clearly not thought through, but I think we have to realize that many voters of the AfD, most voters, they don't elect them because they are so convinced by the economic program. They elect them more out of frustration with the existing parties and this feeling that nothing works and nothing moves. And that's also why I think this autumn of reform, it's certainly we cannot solve all the problems in one autumn, and that is really unrealistic. But it is important that the government, the coalition government, gives this push of reform, that people perceive something is moving, something is done. And here, I hope that both of them can really kind of take their heart and be more courageous to implement these reforms. And you were pointing out that it's the electorate of the Social Democrats that maybe don't want this reform, but I just want to point out that the Christian Democrats have the same hesitation. So Chancellor Merz is saying that the Germans should work more, and it is true because we have this demographic transition that we need more people participating more in the labor market. But then if you look at the data, the group that is really not working much in Germany are married women. And part of the issue is the tax system, where we have joint taxation of married couples. And so the marginal tax rates of secondary income earners are relatively high. So one could really reform that system and gives more incentive to work also for married women. So many mothers in Germany, they do work, but they work very low hours. So by international comparison in Europe, only Italian women work less hours than the German women. So there's a huge scope to increase that. But we would need this tax reform. And here it's the electorate of the Christian Democrats that is really against this. And also here, I would say if Chancellor Merz takes this seriously, he should push for more reforms in this direction.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I also read the figures that this could save up to 20 billion euros if you reform the tax system, which to no longer reward the highest income in a marriage, within a marriage. And at the same time, Matt, we saw the CDU agree to a call by its Bavarian sister party, the CSU, to implement something called the Mütterrente, a special pension for mothers who didn't go to work and were therefore dependent on the pension of their husbands in later life. And this costs some 10 billion euros. So this is really mixed messaging from a coalition that is now called on all of its ministers to shave off a bit more and save some money because they already have a deficit in the next budget of some 30 billion euros.
Yeah, that was one of the things actually that the in the debate yesterday that the Greens criticised was this kind of, I guess it would be pork barrel politics, right? Just spending.
That's nothing new. That's an international thing. Yes.
So it's like just giving kind of finding money when you to make keep people happy. But I think what we just heard there is super interesting about little changes that you can make that can also do a number of things, kind of promote this idea that people get back to work, and I think that's where, like, the autumn reforms, that those are the kind of changes that we'll see. And as you say, there'll be a big debate within the Conservatives, because people have their own objections. In a sense, there's these ideological debates within the parties, and that's what makes it so challenging for Germany to pull off reform when you have these kind of multi-party coalitions. But, you know, I think it takes it people who are willing to make enemies within their own parties to push that through. I mean, we saw in the past, you had the Gerhard Schröder who made enemies in his own party with his reforms of the Hartz IV reforms 20 years ago. And, you know, I was listening to that speech in the Bundestag, and he talked about just people who don't get up and go out to work are going to have to calculate the fact that they will be sanctioned and they will lose their benefits. And he was applauded by the Bundestag. And I just thought, I wonder whether a social democrat leader in the Bundestag and the parliament today would be able to say that and get the same kind of response. And yet people years later said that those reforms were really pivotal to Germany's economic growth.
Even Angela Merkel actually said that she was reaping the rewards for that reform, but it's still a trauma within the Social Democrat Party, which feels large parts of the party still feel that their own chancellor handed over large chunks of the social security that they fought for decades. So that's a trauma the Social Democrats still have to deal with until today. I just want to conclude, Matt, by asking for your prediction on whether this autumn, how much autumn of reform do you expect us to see, and do you think it's this autumn or which autumn?
I don't think it'll be this autumn. I think that's clear. I suspect that we'll be talking about this well into next year. But I think it's important that the changes that they make them as quickly as possible, because I don't think that there's a lot of time. And we talked about the AfD, we talked about the need for economic growth again in Germany and how important that is just to the mood in the country. And I think if Friedrich Merz and this current government are going to stay as the number one party by 2029 at the next elections, and to fend off this threat from the AfD, they really need to promote economic growth. That's one of the most important things. And part of that is making these changes to the labour market, and also dealing with this kind of big, giant pension elephant in the room.
The pensions certainly are the big one. Professor Fuchsschwinden, you said that comparing Germany and France won't get us very far, but I do want to have one more comparison, because the French one says, never a reform, but always a revolution. I wonder, after the conversations certainly that I've had, it feels like this autumn of reform has been called off, that it will focus on foreign nationals, potential social payments being cut towards foreign nationals, including Ukrainians, and that there won't be any huge reform. But do you have the impression that this coalition has the guts to, whether it's this year, next year, or the year after, essentially launch what would be a reform, which is to finally, after two decades of talk, tackle the big elephant in the room, which is the German pension system, and actually change the formula?
I hope, and I do think that they perceive what Mr. Moore already stressed, that they need to reform in order to avoid that the AfD gains even further votes. So it's really important that they are perceived as acting and as acting together. It's hard to get into this mode, which is usually combating kind of seeing the other party as a real political enemy. But here, I think the political enemy is really on the extremes, and they have to collaborate much more. And I would also say what is really important is that we get economic growth started. And for that, I wouldn't say the pension system is the most important one. It's a very important issue for the government budget. But what we need to get growth is also deregulation. So really making it easier for firms to invest. We need to give firms incentives not to invest also in modern technologies. We need a new vision of where Germany is going. What are the leading industries? It cannot be steel and car anymore. But what is it? And here I think the government also takes a very important role. So whether they will manage to do that, and I can only hope, but certainly it is an urgent and pressing issue. And there one can compare again to Chancellor Schröder and the Hartz reform. That happened when the unemployment rate really skyrocketed in Germany. And then the pressure became so large to reform. And nowadays, I mean, we are in the third year without economic growth. And now the unemployment rate also goes up despite the demographic transition. So the pressure is building up, and I hope that it will translate into courageous actions.
Professor Fuchs-Schwinden, thank you very much for your analysis on that. And I do already feel a Berlin briefing on the economy coming on here very soon. So thanks to you. Thanks to Matt Moore here in the studio. I also want to say a big thanks from Nina Hase, my colleague, who got plenty of birthday wishes from everybody because she appeared on her birthday in the last episode below. We're going to drop more facts and figures for you to look deeper into this. We will keep you posted on whether this autumn of reform actually happened. Of course, that will also take place in our Berlin briefing newsletter that comes out every week. There you can also find the latest analysis and the latest figures. So the big question on whether this coalition will break through the almost nostalgia that there is on how the social system works, that's still an open one, and we'll keep you posted on that.